Listen, John, we've written many songs about many clubs. And, you know, I had a few football hits to do with football. We've never done anything about Newcastle.
No, we haven't, no.
Okay. And it has been a bit of a strange setup there. And obviously, it's a tough job to take on with Mike Ashley. But now, Steve Bruce has gone there. And we did say it's fantastic that Steve Bruce is a Newcastle fan. Even though I thought maybe they would have gone for a different manager, someone with some new ideas. But we're joined now by Newcastle legend. Give us his thoughts on it, Frank Clark. Morning, Frank.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, to you, Frank.
First of all, Frank, what did you think of the move for Steve Bruce going there?
Well, it's a great opportunity for Steve. He's going to a Premier League club who finished where they finished just below halfway last season. But obviously it has, you know, it has a lot of problems. There's a big disconnect between the owner and the supporters. Supporters aren't very happy at all.
Well, I did hear some of the supporters yesterday, Frank. I did. They went around and asked them. Oh my goodness me, they were going mad.
Yeah, they weren't.
I mean, really, really, really going mad. Saying we don't want him here. You know, he's not a Premiership manager. Yeah. You know, he finished. He didn't even finish. He mid table, and you know, we don't want someone's second-hand knockings, you know.
That's unlike the sort of Newcastle fans, isn't it, Frank? Because normally they're sort of, I know they're passionate, but they're not sort of like that.
Yeah, you would think they would give them a chance. I mean, I think that's part of the disconnect between the fans and the owner.
And being a Newcastle fan, of course, Frank. He's a Newcastle fan as well.
Yeah, he was his club when he was a boy growing up. But you know that won't help him once he starts. He's just got to go there and win a few games. You know, he knows what he's got to do. He knows what the situation is. He's a good solid man, Steve. I have to smile at myself sometimes when I hear these supporters talking about why haven't we been looking for a foreign manager. It seems as though if the guy's foreign and he's got a foreign name, he's automatically going to be better than anybody in England.
That's
Steve Bruce has got a massive amount of experience managing clubs at all levels. He's managing the Premier League. And I just hope, you know, that he'll go there. And as I say, he just has to go and win football matches.
Yeah. I mean, how difficult is it that he's going to be with Mike Ashley? It's not going to be an easy task. You've managed clubs, Frank, you know, like Nottingham Forest, a place like that. How important is it to have a good owner and a good relationship with the manager and the owner?
Well, it's absolutely vital for the relationship. And it helps if they're a good owner. It seems that the opinion of most of the fans up there, that Mike's not a good owner. I mean, I don't know him at all. But they're still in the Premiership, and I'm sure Steve will establish a relationship. He's a big boy, Steve, and he'll establish a relationship with Mike. And then it's important that he has a working relationship with Lee, of course, Lee Charnley, and the people who actually run the club on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Yeah, and who would you look? I mean, there's so many foreign players around now, Frank. But who would you look to bring in? Who do you think, Steve, if he's got any money, is there any players that you think that stand out that maybe they could afford?
Well, Pogba and Lukaku would be all right. No, I mean, they obviously need to strengthen up front because they've lost Rondon, they've lost Dwight Gale and the other French boy Perez, I think.
Yeah, Perez.
They've
yeah.
all gone, so they're obviously short of a striking option. So I'm sure they'll be addressing that.
Yeah.
But they've got quite a good scouting system in place, and Steve will be working with them to identify his targets.
That's what I was going to say, Frank. Newcastle, you know, the people from Newcastle live and breathe football. They absolutely love it with a passion, and they've got an academy up there. Do you not think, you know, watching football over the years, you know, being at your level and coming through, do you not think that we're not tapping enough into the academies of some of these clubs?
Well, that's a complaint thrown at lots of clubs. There's more money, more infrastructure being thrown into academies now than ever before. And I think most of the the big clubs have got very, very good academies. But it is a problem for the young players to force their way through from, you know, we get them to under 21 level and they're all very, very good prospects. But the next step of forcing their way into the first 11, when they've got a load of very good players and a lot of foreign players in front of them, that last step is very, very difficult.
Yeah. How much has it changed over the years, Frank, since you've seen it? You know, you played at a higher level, you managed at a higher level. How much has this game changed?
Well, the money's changed, really. That's been the biggest thing. You know, in the Premier League now, if you're a manager, you're dealing with a dressing room full of millionaires. And that makes it more difficult to deal with them. Yeah. You know, you can't frighten them into anything. Now you've got to be persuade them and take them with you that what you're doing is the right thing for them and the football club.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Pogba, Frank. You mentioned Pogba. I mean, how does he chuck his toys out of the pram?
We've been saying, Frank, he's like the naughty school kid. You know, he's the disruptive. What would you have done when you're managing players like that? How would you have dealt with somebody like that?
Well, I would have absolutely given 100% to integrate him somehow into the club because he is a really talented player.
Okay.
You know, you've got, with your very best talented players, you have to find a way of getting them integrated into the club and playing for the benefit of the team.
Do you think that's what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's doing?
I think that's what he's trying to do. Mm. I mean, I don't know the situation, obviously, but looking at it from the outside, you know, Pogba's agent sounds as though he's trying to stir it up. Ollie is not biting on that. He seems as though he's doing his damnedest to integrate Pogba into the team. I mean, I had Stan Collymore, you know, one of the most talented individuals I've ever worked with. And Stan was difficult to deal with. He caused me lots of problems. Mm. It would have been very, very easy for me to wash my hands of it. But he was such a good player that it was worth the aggravation and the hard work that we had to put in with Stan and the rest of the players, you know, to keep him integrated into the first team. And that's what you've got to do with a really talented player. It's the easiest thing in the world to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because there'll be plenty of people who want to buy them if they've got so much talent. But,
you
know, you're weakening your own team.
It's a fair shout.
He's come up with something there that we haven't really thought about.
A manager's job.
That's what a manager
is to manage, yeah. Just before, I just want to ask you a couple of personal ones on your football career. But just do you think Steve Bruce will be a success there?
I hope so. I like Steve. I know him quite well. I hope so. And I love the club, of course. Yeah. I want the club to do well, so I'm desperately hoping that he will do well. But it's a very difficult job. And, you know, that Premier League is very, very difficult anyway.
Mm. It's a shame you didn't go and do it, Frank.
Yeah.
They could have done with you going up there.
I'm too hot. Oh, now.
Never.
I haven't got the energy anymore.
just on that note, Frank, who was the best player that you managed?
It would be Stan.
Would it?
Wow.
He never really achieved the honours that he should have done with the talent that he had, because he did have a few problems, but he was an incredibly talented player. But listen, I've managed some really good players, some great lads, some great characters at all levels. You know, I've managed fourth division, third division. You know, I've managed in all the divisions. And I've worked with some really good players, some really good characters. I was going to say I've enjoyed every minute of it, not quite, but I enjoyed most of it.
more than managing than playing.
Yeah.
Oh no! Playing is the best thing ever.
Really? Of course it was.
One piece of advice for players coming to near the end of the career. Play on as long as you can.
Yeah. Frank, I just want to ask you two more things, and then we've got to let you go. I'm sorry. I want your proudest moment as a footballer and your proudest moment as a manager.
Good question. I think my my proudest moment as a manager, it was getting Forest to third place in the Premier League.
I remember that
in the first season back into the Premier League. I mean, it was beyond our wildest expectations for everybody at the club. You know, I mean, the board said to me when we did get up, you know, none of this rubbish about hanging on and consolidating. We expect to see you at least in the top half.
Yeah.
I wasn't too sure about that one, but to finish third was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
a great team with some great characters. You know, with Stan and Brian Roy playing up front, and Percy in the team.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah,
threatening everybody if they didn't do what he said, he would punch them.
And as a player, Frank.
Well, as a player, I mean, I'd have to say they winning the European Cup in my last ever game, you know, when we beat Malmo when I was at Forest. That was that was a great way to go out.
Great.
I didn't plan it that way, but that's how it worked out.
Frank, we could talk to you forever.
It's a great one.
We
must just say, we haven't seen her for a long while, but we do know your daughter, Lisa.
Oh, very well, yes.
And,
she's well. Okay.
She send her our love, will you?
I will do that.
We haven't seen her for a long time.
Yeah. No. I might have to message her on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell her your dad was on our show.
Yeah.
Frank, okay. Listen, have a wonderful summer.
Thanks, Frank.
And have a rest, and then we can all get back into the football in the next couple of weeks. Frank Clark there, absolute Newcastle legend. And I remember Nottingham Forest manager.
Absolutely.
Wonderful times there. Love Sports. Listen, John, it's about that time when we talk about Sven.
Yes.
And we've had such wonderful years doing the stuff that we do over a single that we wrote.
Yes.
And we was part of the Capital Gold team, which was fantastic. And one of the greatest fellas that we met. We have such fun with him. And he was on the record as well. He only had one line, but
He said the line twice.
He said the line twice. But
see you later. See you later.
Still one of the greatest lines.
It is.
We're joined by our old mate, Tony Gow. How are you, Tone?
I'm good, boys. And you wouldn't have sold a record without that line, I'm telling you.
Absolutely, Tony. It was your dulcet tones that got that record to number 7.
And it was a wonderful time. Yourself and Pearcey. How is Jonathan Pearce at the moment?
He's good. I mean, he's lording it up. He's the king of the ladies' football now after doing all the commentaries in the World Cup.
He did very well, didn't he,
Tone?
He's different class. For me, he's still the best commentator around for me.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. In fact, that's going to be one of our questions in the little quiz that we give to you in a minute, Tone. So, on the West Ham signings at the moment, obviously we spent $45 million this week. What do you think?
Yeah, well, most people will be going, "Ooh, one of them," you know. Yeah. But $45 million on a relatively unknown striker, I would say. But it's a lot of money, boys. I think, quite honestly, they've paid over the top. But if he does the business, he's going to be terrific. He's going to be terrific. And they were desperate for one because Hernandez looked like he was going, now he's staying, but that still only leaves them with two strikers, really, the new boy and Hernandez, and maybe Antonio. He can switch up front if he's not playing wider. But there's still light on the ground for strikers for me after Andy Carroll going, Perez going, and Arnautović going.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of outs.
Am I right, though, Tone, that Andy Carroll's still training with the boys?
Well, I hope he's fit. I hope he's fit to train.
it's doubtful. Do you know what? Because I did hear that he's bought Rod Stewart's house. And as you know, it's got one of the best football pitches ever. And I thought, well, surely he can just go in the back garden and train rather than turning up with the boys every day at Chapel Leaf. But we need a bit more, don't we? I mean, if Carroll's gone and Arnautović, and like you say, like Hernandez, it looks like he may go. We need somebody else, don't we?
Yeah, need another one. You need, always need, I mean, strikers is the ones that's going to win your games, isn't it? And down the years, it's been synonymous with teams that have struggled when their strikers have got injured, you know, putting sort of players in there, bit part players up front, and it don't work. You know, Harry Kane comes out the Spurs team, they ain't the same. You know, Mane comes out the Liverpool team, or Salah, they ain't the same. But you've got to have that vital backup. Got to have it.
What did you make of the Arnautović situation? Obviously, the West Ham fans had sort of washed their hands with him pretty much once he said he wanted to go to China, but it was pretty bad business because we could have got $40 million for him January and we've ended up with 22 now. It's pretty poor, isn't it?
Well, he solely ruined the season for West Ham last year. Solely ruined it because it was awful what he was doing. He was putting a gun to their head over a new deal just to stay to the rest end of the season. Mm. Obviously, they lost the 40 mil that was on the table and he's gone for 23. But do you know what? It's 23 million in that is good money in, so to speak, because you can't have players in and around the squad like that. Talented, yes, but an absolute string vest, as we call them over the east side, don't we? Okay? Yeah, I mean, and he just wouldn't have survived in an old-fashioned dressing room, would he? Someone would have said a thing or two, because it's just poor show, isn't it? You know, all that money and not wanting to turn out, and when you're turning out, you're sulking and start. I remember when he signed originally with Slav, he got sent off in his first game.
Yeah.
You know, so ever since the day he came, he was a problem. But on his day, what a player.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we were talking about the likes of Pogba. We were saying that he's like the disruptive kid in the classroom. And I think maybe Arnautovic was like that. However, because the fact that we've got Mark there, we've got Mark Noble there, who's an out-and-out West Ham, is the core of the club. Do you think that a lot of clubs are lacking players that stay at a club all the time and they're a fan? Do you see, like in the old days, you would have had that with some of the players that you played with, the core of the club. We've got so many foreign players now, there's nobody that's the actual, the life and depth of that club.
Mm. Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because players come and go willy-nilly now, and to stay for one contract is a long time for them, isn't it? A 3 or 4 year contract. Mm. You're talking about old days, and we had, when I was playing at West Ham, we had 12 consecutive testimonials.
Really?
So 12 players who played 10 years or more for the club.
Wow.
You know, and we had a lot of good do's and all, didn't we, boys? You'd have probably been at half of them.
Yes, I think we have. Yeah, I mean, listen, you're totally right. And the fact that West Ham was that sort of club that you tended to stay at, I suppose we're pretty lucky that we've kept Declan Rice, aren't we?
Yeah, Dec, you know, I know Dec. I think he'll be staying this year for sure. You know, it's been quite a meteoric rise for him to get into the first team, then into the England squad. But this is the year when he kicks on for me. This is the year when, right, he's had that settling in year. And don't forget, Slav was the one who gave him his chance. Everybody's saying about Pellegrini.
Yeah.
But it's Slav who gave him his chance. But sitting in that midfield role, he's got to start finding a pass quicker now and being looking forward into those little, what we call pockets, you know, to get in between the lines. And believe you me, he's got it in his locker, but now he can become the governor, so to speak.
Yes.
I think he's got to try and look at Mark, Mark Noble, who's got a nice passing range and looks to play forward first before sideways and backwards. Learn off him and get that decisive pass going.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Just before we play the little quiz, Tone, we have to ask you.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, you're going to like this quiz.
Before we do that, just want to ask you, who's the greatest player that you played with?
Played at 3 different clubs. So at Fulham, it was Georgie Best.
Oh, wow.
At West Ham, it was Alan Devonshire.
Yeah.
And at Blackburn, it was Alan Shearer. So
wow, that
big was front three. Wasn't
that's
it,
not a bad three.
That's a good three. But I do love the fact that a few years ago we were doing an event with you at West Ham, and there was me, you, and another fella talking for about 5 minutes, and I didn't quite know who the other fella was, but we was having a good chat, and then you said, "Mark, have you met Alan Devonshire's granddad?" And it was Alan Devonshire.
Well, he looks like his great-granddad now, and that's a year later. Oh, yeah.
Is he looking... No,
out of all the boys, bless him, like, he's my best pal, but I suppose only your best pals can tell you, but he has aged.
Yeah. No, but you know what? He's a wonder, and what a wonderful talent he was. Listen, Tom, we've got to get on to the 5 questions. Like, what it is... Okay, you've got to name 5 of everything as quick as you can. There's 5 questions.
5 of everything?
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't worry. It's nice and easy. Right.
But you've got to beat the clock, okay? So we'll stop the clock each time we do each question, okay? And then you've got to beat... Anthony Costa's done it. I'm just looking at the board here. Anthony Costa's done it in 49 seconds.
Oh, he's the guy who owns the coffee shops, isn't he?
That's it. Yeah, he does now. He was in Blue for a while. Now he's only coffee shops.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He was good.
He's a good lad.
Here we go.
Okay, so we're going to producer Ben's going to start the clock. and then I'll sort of give you the questions. Okay.
We won't start the clock until you answer the
question. Ben, let me tell you, Ben, Ben's here. Look, Ben, yeah. I'll give you a little drink if you let that clock go on a bit longer.
He's nodding, he's laughing in there.
Yeah.
Right, here we go, here we go. So you've got to name, as quick as you can, five England managers.
Sven Goran Eriksson, Fabio Capello, Alf Ramsey, Bobby Robson, and Terry Venables.
Stop clock.
Very good.
Okay, all right. Ben's going to add that second. He's going to tell us at the end, so he's going to write the seconds down for that one. Okay,
here we go.
Ready? Name five West Ham captains.
Billy Bonds, Mark Noble, me, Alvin Martin, and Ray Stewart.
Stop clock.
I love the way he says, me.
Me. Fantastic, isn't it?
I even forgot Moro.
Yes.
Wow.
That's great, isn't it? Me.
Yeah, we should finish on Moro, by the way. Okay, we're going to switch to films here. We're just switching over to films.
Oh, there we go.
Nice and easy. Don't
worry. Yeah, you'll be all right, Tom.
Okay. Name five James Bond films.
You Only Live Twice, Doctor No, On Her Majesty's Service, Goldfinger.
Spy
Love Me.
Stop the clock.
Is it?
There you go. We
gave other people clues, so...
True.
Yeah, okay. No. Thanks, boys.
Okay.
That's all right.
That's a drink.
Tamara Sand got a lot of clues, let me tell you.
Yes, he did.
that's another gig, I owe you.
Yes, it is. Obviously, the golf is on at the moment, Tone. I know you like your golf as well. So
yeah.
Okay, we got the
Rory got an 8 on the first hole. I believe it.
Terrible. It was four over after two.
Terrible.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to
just... Your last one, is this?
I know, you got two
is
more.
Is it two more?
Yeah, just going to make it as easy as possible, really. In fact, this is quite easy. Name five major winners.
Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Rory McIlroy, and Brooks Koepka.
Stop clock.
Well done.
Very good.
Very fast.
I tell you what, you're going to be in with a shout here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last question. I think you may
I
do
think
this.
He's in with a shout.
I think he is. I'm going to give you something that you do. You're fantastic at it in what you do now. You've got to name me five football commentators.
Martin Tyler, Bill Leslie, Rob Allthorne, Jonathan Pearce, and Ian Dark.
Stop the clock. I thought he was going to say me again.
Me?
Yeah, don't forget yourself.
Right, Ben, producer's going to add it up.
I think he's nicked it.
I think he might have nicked it. But do you know what? Just before we go to how many you've done it in, Tone, can you just tell us what it was like being at West Ham with Bobby Moore?
Well, I weren't at West Ham.
No, but you know, when you was there, you know, I know I've spoke to you and Billy Bonds.
You know, I was with Moro at Fulham. That's where I took
over
at
Fulham.
From him.
Yeah.
And following his footsteps, I mean, was brilliant. But following his footsteps all over the place, actually, boys.
Yeah.
You know, Fulham, West Ham, Capital Gold. The only thing different between me and Moro was. He got 108 caps. I didn't get any.
Do you know what?
No, he was different class. He was footballing royalty, what I call.
Yeah, yeah. And the same, of course, as you played with George Best. I mean, I know he's Irish, not an English player, but what a player, eh? Tone, what a player.
And what was that like being there with George Best?
Georgie Best.
The best. Things I've never seen anybody do on a football field to this day.
He's my favourite football player.
And it's like when you see guys in training, it's even better, and you see them close up and what they do in training. And then to replicate that on a pitch, not many people can do that. You know, moments of genius in training, you know, they kind of swallow it or bottle it when they go on a football pitch. But he was just different class. You see, look, most of the people have seen the films, but to just play alongside him, God, blimey, I was only 17. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and just, do you think that we're lacking characters?
He said, by the way, could nick a bird as well.
Oh, couldn't he just?
He was a bit too good looking, wasn't he? Tone, just to finish off, just going to tell you your first, your five England managers you've done in 8 seconds.
Yep.
Your five West Ham captains you've done in six seconds.
Yeah.
Five James Bond films, 16. Five major winners in 6 seconds. And this is the crucial bit. Can you beat Anthony Costa on 49 seconds? And you've done the five football commentators in 7 seconds, giving you top of the leaderboard, 43 seconds.
Oh. Tony Gow, top of the leaderboard.
I really apologise to Anthony.
Tone, I know you. Yeah, I know you've got to run off to the Hurlingham Club, but it's wonderful having you on the show, and we look forward to having a beer with you soon.
Yeah, very much so.
Anytime, boys. Give me a buzz during the season. We can talk football because you're so knowledgeable, you two. Particularly you, John.
You love it, don't you?
If we can get him on, Johnny,
they call him Johnny the Prep.
If we can get him on food, he's at me.
Good on food, Tone.
Tone, lovely. Listen, have a wonderful day, Tony Gale. Proper legend at Fulham, West Ham, Blackburn.
And we're very proud to call him a friend,
without a doubt,
aren't we?
And he's very good. He was very good on our record. See you later. Love Sport. I know that I've been talking about Love Island, and I know that you love Love Island, don't you?
No. I can honestly say, I know that we've got Marvin here and he's our guest.
Okay, but wait a minute. You watch a minute of it?
I watched a bit where she's going on about lots of lols.
Okay, all right, okay.
You missed a lot since then.
Really?
Just so we know, we are joined now by Hayley Palmer and the lovely Marvin. Thank you. So Marvin, listen, I've dipped in and out of it. My wife and my daughter absolutely love it, so I've dipped in now. I've sort of drawn in for last season, if you like, and just tell us what it's like in the villa, because when I watch it, me and John have done a few shows over the years, and it's very producer led, and they will tell you what you've got to do and where you've got to be. Is there a lot of involvement from the producers behind the scenes?
I was quite surprised how well produced it was, but it needs to be produced, because otherwise it'd be absolute mayhem in there. So they're involved a lot, but at the same time, it's not scripted or anything. They do let you say what you want to say.
But do they come back? I've heard various bits where they sort of say, actually, can you come back and say that again? Can we sit you two there and you just have a conversation? But then I assume that you're allowed to sort of run with what you want to do.
Yeah, so there can be times and situations that people miss, and if you miss it, it has to be redone again. You can't miss situations like that. So, yeah, there are times when the producers run in and they'll say, kind of, let's get this conversation again, or let's restart the conversation, which makes it quite awkward, but quite comical at the same time.
What made you go in there?
I got a message.
Got a text message.
Yeah, I got a text. and then I'm 29, I'm turning 30 next month.
He's over it, isn't he?
And I was kind of like, do you know what? I haven't got a girlfriend, is this a sign, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah, it wasn't anything.
I'm sure some of them go in there with girlfriends already, or boyfriends.
Yeah.
But just go in there for the fame bit.
I've heard of a few that dump girlfriends before they go in. But
really?
Yeah, I don't know anyone personally that has done it, but yeah.
Did you enjoy it, though?
Oh, it was the most amazing experience. I can't describe every day like you're doing something crazy.
No, I can imagine going in there. I mean, listen, I'm not a fan of watching it, but I should think...
At least you're honest.
I should think that if I went in there, in this beautiful villa with beautiful girls, of course I'd go in there, wouldn't I? but I'm sure
you got rid of your six-pack last year, didn't you? Because you were ripped up.
That's true.
And it's all sort of gone.
I can't drive the women wild anymore.
Yeah.
Put yourself down, Johnny.
Do you know what? One thing that me and the boys were talking about last night, strangely enough, was that all the conversations that you, let's say, for an hour in the evening, that nothing is about any other part of their life. It's all about the relationships in the house. There's nothing about what they like, what they do for a living.
Do you know what that is? There's situations and at times where you can't talk about your feelings and what's going on in the villa. You're told to talk about those sort of things, about where you go out when you're at home, you know, who your friends are, like what music you're into. So you talk about that all day until it comes to actually filming the conversations that need to be filmed.
Right.
And that's why we don't talk about it, because we've exhausted those options.
You see,
gotcha. And that's all that they clear about. Yeah. Now, listen, a good mate of ours, he used to be our manager, and then he went into acting, but we've stayed mates, and he came on the show the other day. He's Tamer Hassan.
Tamer Hassan.
Legend.
We had a good laugh with Tamer. Listen, I could tell you some of the funniest times that we've had out.
Off air, in fact,
we can't talk about
it. Not for radio.
Now, his daughter Belle went in there. How was she perceived in there?
Yeah, I didn't realise that was his daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would have paid her a little bit more respect, I think, if I'd have known that. No, she's amazing, and I think now it kind of explains it, really, because she's a very fiery character.
Mm. Yeah.
And she doesn't take any, you know, any crap.
I loved it when she literally just went for him the other day. Yeah. It was so watchable.
Did you think that was a little bit, it was quite powerful what she did?
Do you know what? I think she was absolutely right.
Was she? Okay.
Yeah, he completely overstepped the mark, and he needed to be put in his place.
Not okay. Got a clue Girl what you're power. Talking about. Not got a clue
Johnny,
what you're talking about.
Johnny's not in on this.
Marvin,
one.
On a serious note, though, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a light-hearted show, really, yeah. Isn't it? But let's face it. Excuse me, I'm spitting out. Hayley's brought in some donuts.
She's very excited.
Excuse me. But let's face it. It's controversy. There's been, you know, suicides. There's been. You know, with the Jeremy Kyle thing, then the Love Island got, you know, linked to it. Yeah. Did you go in there with any... I mean, you've come out, you seem very happy with what happened.
Yeah. I think that they've... I think they've kind of done really well this year. I mean, I don't know what it was like last year and previous seasons,
right.
But they've done really well this year. The aftercare, the therapy's on hand. I'm off to a financial clinic after this. There's so many things that
financial clinic.
What's that? Yeah.
Tell us about that, God.
Oh, that's just to kind of teach us. If we come into any sort of money and quit, you know, just trying to make sure that you don't. Yeah,
I need that.
I think in previous seasons, a lot of people have just spent a load of money and thought they had to live a lifestyle when they left.
Right, same as I did when I received my royalty check.
Yeah,
Spend. Yeah. Spend it all in a week.
Yes, Johnny.
Don't do that, Marvin.
Johnny finished top of the pops on Thursday, and then
I was in the Priory by Monday.
Absolute rock star behaviour.
It's very true as well.
We only had two hit records, and he thought he was Ronnie Wood from the Stones. It was quite incredible. Just tell us about what the feel is like in the villa.
Yeah.
What I've noticed, and it's quite nice to see, is some big fellas in there. You're all ripped up, you're all pumped up, and everything. And there doesn't seem to be that many arguments amongst the fellas. It's quite a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, I would say that the boys really stick together. I think when I first got in there was the three Casa Amor boys and the six guys that were in there from the main
from
villa.
The start, yeah.
Yeah, and those guys hadn't really kind of warmed to us too well at first. And I think once we went through a few dump-ins, it's crazy. Like, I've watched it and sat there and gone, you know each other 3 days? Like, calm down.
Yeah,
yeah.
But when you're in there, you can't explain it. I mean, George left. I'd known him for 10 days. I was crying.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
But George didn't speak.
Yeah, well, George probably forgot he was on Love Island by now. He's literally like that.
But that's the coup, isn't it? That you spent... It's a bit like you go on holiday and some people leave after a week. You've spent a week with them and you say, what time's your flight? And it's made bigger, isn't it? The situation, they're spending that amount of time with them.
Yeah, but you're obviously around them 24/7. And on top of that, you're going through highs and lows that you just don't experience anywhere else. So, yeah you get a tight bond. And then the boys in particular, we just got really, really close. So when I left... It was quite difficult, but at the same time, you sat there thinking, I've known you 2 weeks.
Was you in the last two where they had to pick one of the girls out to pick?
Yeah, I killed myself a little bit here. Some people don't know this.
I was going to say, because I'm just trying to go back, because I think I saw that episode. Didn't you do a lads situation? You won it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you won the lads out of that, and so I thought that's going to put you further up the ladder. And then you've ended up in the last two. Who was the girl that had to pick?
Maura had to pick.
Maura.
And I was already coupled up with Maura, but I stupidly said just before the recoupling to her, she said, oh, I might have to end up picking you again. Mm. And I said, oh, I think we'd both rather go home single than share a bed again. And that literally sealed my fate. I think she got down to the last two.
Did
and
you
she
not
was
fancy
like,
Maura, though? She's beautiful.
She is a beautiful girl.
Was she hard work, that girl?
She was a beautiful girl, but... Our personalities clash massively.
Right.
When I had the first conversation with her, she was really nice, sweet, really good to get on with. And then after that, she was just kind of shouting like absurd things out, and I was just like, nah, not me. Yeah.
Marvin, do you believe that you can find true love in there?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Do you know why? Because you get to take away your phone, anything digital,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
have to actually think, how do I feel about this person?
But isn't it a little bit short-lived, though? Because when you come out, you get your phone back, you go back to life, you go back to normal life, and it's like...
Yeah, and then you ignore them, yeah.
Then you ignore
them. Yeah, I'm not too sure about, like, when the guys come out.
Yeah,
obviously,
I mean.
They're exposed to a lot of attention and media and stuff like that. So... maybe that's what causes the breakups, but
Danny
I generally think
Danny Dyer split up. Yeah, they split, but has anyone actually been successful?
Yeah, I think they made a few quid out of it. Danny and
I mean successful in love.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
I don't mean money.
Right, okay. There's been a couple of weddings. Yeah.
Has there been a couple of weddings?
Yes, there is. Yeah,
and they're still together, aren't they?
But do you know what I also thought about it with Danny's daughter coming out last year, and the boy she was with? What was his name?
Jack.
Okay, so they came out. Suddenly, their Twitter and their Instagram following goes through the roof, and they're getting attention that they didn't have before they went in there. And suddenly, you know, they might be texting each other for about a week and go out for a couple of meals and then go, hang on a minute, there's about 30,000 over here that are asking me out. And it's probably, you know, you young people, it's going to happen.
Has your Twitter following, of course, gone up massively?
I haven't got Twitter.
Good.
No, I haven't got Twitter.
To be honest,
Instagram? I've got Instagram, but... I get so much abuse. I think Twitter's not a the tool I need.
You think you get abuse?
This is another thing. So I mean, John, you know, when we had our bit of success, John got the awful abuse, and so he didn't want to be on it.
Yeah.
But the fact is,
I didn't really care. But
there's
have thick skin.
You got to have thick skin with it. We did a thing called mean tweets where
we answer them. Yeah,
we answer them back, and you give it back to them. You know, in fact, we just sort of. Sort of said, we're going to send Razor Ruddock round your house.
That's it.
That's what we did. But have you had some of that? Have you had to deal with that when you come out?
Yeah, but it's all been... I take it with a pinch of salt. At the end of the day, no one on the internet can say anything worse than any of my teammates. So my teammates hammer me more than anyone.
Talk to us a bit about that, about football, because you play a good level of football.
Yeah, semi-pro, play for Poole Town, and they have... I literally went back to pre-season Tuesday night, and they... they've hammered me. They've absolutely hammered me. And that's why any of the abuse that I get online, it's not really a thing.
Well, you know what? Mine always tells a story about Bernard Manning. You don't remember Bernard Manning, do you?
No.
Bernard Manning was a big, big, huge, fat comedian. And he was up north, right? And he used to go on stage and he used to say, you know something? So he said, oh, Bernard, you're fat. What's the name, right? And he said, you know what, son? You're right. I am fat. But when I die, he says... I'm going to be in all the papers. Everyone's going to know. They're all going to come to my funeral. And everyone's going to know. And the next day, everyone's going to be talking about me. But when you die, nothing.
Nobody cares.
And no one's going to care.
He's going to win, Mark.
Yeah. That's right. And that's what it is, you see.
Yeah,
all these trolls that are coming for you. It's only because... They're talking about you.
From what I've seen so far, it's all in good jest.
Yeah. Like,
just tell us about your entrance into the Villa. Got a bit of a story behind it because you were meant to be at pre-season training, weren't you?
Yeah. no one knew about it as well. I think the football club didn't take it too well.
Right.
They've welcomed me back, but the manager was... I think he said that that's the first time he's had an excuse like that, not turning up for pre-season.
I've gone on Love Island.
Just
on that fact, who do you support? What team?
Chelsea.
Do you?
Let's ask you about Chelsea. What do you think about Frank?
I went in and I came out. I didn't realise that Frank had been appointed the manager. So.
Are you, as a Chelsea fan, happy to that Frank?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think that we've got, you know, two transfer windows now that we can't do anything.
Yeah,
that's right.
And use the youth.
Yeah. What did you think of Sarri going? Like John said, you won a trophy.
Yeah.
You ended up third, and you got into the Champions League for next year with not a great. A great squad, if you like, not a depth of the squad of, let's say, like Man City or Liverpool, and then he goes.
Yeah,
it's a strange one because I think with him it was just a popularity contest.
He smoked too many fags.
I mean, Frank could do half of what he's done last season and probably still keep his job. You know, and I think a lot of the Chelsea fans just want to see him in there. So I'd be happy. I'd literally be happy if we went back to the old Chelsea where we won a game, we lost a game, we drew a game.
Really? You know?
Yeah, I just want to see a bit of exciting football. I kind of got bored of the Chelsea when we were winning everything.
I know what you mean.
So. Do you know what? It's almost like Lewis Hamilton. We talk about Lewis Hamilton. He's a Brit. Yeah. Yeah. We're fed up with him winning.
Yeah.
How can we do that?
Yeah.
How can we fed up with a Brit winning?
We want to see him like get a puncher or something, you know, let his engine blow up just so that some others can have a chance.
We're sick of him winning.
Just what will you take from this experience of Love Island? And do you know what? There was something that you just mentioned something about. And then you said when you're in there, you haven't got a phone.
Yeah, that's...
You can't get into the computer. And it goes back to the old days of being in a nightclub and actually having to go and chat a girl up and actually have a conversation rather than swiping left or right.
Did you enjoy it without the phone?
Yeah, I actually I thought that would be the most difficult bit, but actually it was nice, a little digital detox. And and the thing is, once you get your phone back, you're back into it. You're back picking it up every 2 minutes, posting things, doing things. And I'll be looking forward to, because I'm the guy that will go up to a girl across the bar and just literally write my number down on the waiter's receipt, get a pen from him and put it across. But I get looked at like I'm an alien.
Yeah. No,
like, that's good. Yeah, men should go back to charm school.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, you know, we loved it, didn't we? Faces Nightclub.
Oh,
That was our. We used to walk in.
And we used to walk in, right? You used to walk in, and there was this little bar that was off of it. And then you had the main nightclub. Yeah. So we'd go in our little bar bit. And Bell would always go, right, I'm just going to do the 400 metres.
And I'll go and round the club.
He'd go round the club, see what's about, and come back.
All right, don't say that because my wife's listening.
Yeah, well, that was before you met your wife. Yeah,
it was, actually. I've got to quickly ask you this because this was a question from one of the punters. You left the Villa and shortly after Joanna left as well, but without Michael, which was a bit of a powerful one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's lots of chat in the Villa at Michael getting back with Amber. And I saw a bit of that last night. He went over to chat to her, and I suppose we're going to see that tonight. What do you think? Will he get back with her?
Yeah, that was a massive curveball for me because I predicted that he would have walked when Joanna left.
Did you?
I predicted he would have walked. And they were so close in there, and he was pushing Amber away. But I'm shocked. I now think he'll couple up with Amber, and he'll try and win it.
Wow. Okay. All right.
He won't win it. Yeah, he won't win it. But
who do you think it looks like? Tommy and
Molly are literally in cruise control. They sleep all day. You know, they run the show there. They don't really do much, contribute much. And as soon as they do, that it's filmed and it's kind of shown. But what's nice is Tommy is so genuine. Like,
is he really?
Yeah. He is. He said to me, look, every time she walks in the room, walks towards me, I get nerves.
Right. But do you know what? Because at the start, I thought he was jumping around. I think he was with her, the Moira.
Yeah, I thought that because he was basically promising the world to every girl he was chatting to. Yeah. And I thought, how can you do that? But yeah, I'm not sure on her side.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she can deal with him
because
he's young and he's quite immature. So.
Very quickly, the girl that came in, she's at my gym every day. I've seen her for the last few years. Fran, was she any good? Was she all right?
Yeah, she was all right, but she was literally lovely.
Was she a nice... Was she any good?
Do you know what? She was the only girl that actually asked me about what my background was,
fantastic.
What I did, so...
Do you know what? You know. It's lovely. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
Listen, round of applause for Marvin.
Marvin!
Thank you.
And the lovely
Hayley Palmer.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.